One evening at an airport, a father spotted a book called 1 Minute Bedtime Stories and felt a surge of excitement. Finally, a way to speed up the nightly ritual with his son. Then came the gut punch. What kind of person was he becoming? Scrooge with a stopwatch, he'd later call himself. This moment of clarity sparked a global investigation into our collective addiction to speed and the quiet rebellion rising against it. We've all joined this cult. Klaus Schwab warns that we're moving from a world where the big eat the small to one where the fast eat the slow. But this race is leaving casualties everywhere. Burnout, obesity, sleep deprivation, relationships reduced to text messages. Half of British adults have lost touch with friends because they're too busy. Children suffer most, overscheduled like miniature executives, juggling tutoring and sports with no time to simply be kids. Anxiety and depression now appear in 5-year-olds. Why are we so time poor despite material wealth? Western culture views time as linear and finite, something to squeeze dry. Christianity added pressure to use every moment productively. Technology promised liberation, but delivered new demands. Email created mountains of correspondence. Washing machines led to washing clothes more frequently. Our brains crave the neurochemical rush of speed, becoming velocitized, like drivers who can't slow down. Sometimes speed becomes a strategy for distraction, helping us avoid uncomfortable truths about mortality and unhappiness. In the sensory rush, we forget what we'd rather not remember. A counter-revolution is brewing. In the Austrian Alps, the Society for the Deceleration of Time gathers annually with over 1,000 members who've discovered Eigenzeit, the idea that every living being has its own inherent tempo. They run playful speed traps in town centers, timing pedestrians and punishing the hasty by making them walk while steering a tortoise marionette. Most haven't considered why they're rushing, but once asked, they're fascinated. The movement spans the globe. Japan's Sloth Club promotes slow is beautiful through its Tokyo Cafe. In San Francisco, the Long Now Foundation builds clocks that tick once yearly and measure time over 10 millennia, warning that civilization has developed a pathologically short attention span. This isn't about rejecting modernity or doing everything slowly. It's about what Carlo Petrini calls controlling the rhythms of your own life. Being fast when fast makes sense, slow when slowness serves you better. The revolution isn't in the speed itself, but in reclaiming the choice.
Nearly half of Britons eat dinner in front of the TV. The average McDonald's meal lasts 11 minutes. Modern pigs reach 220 pounds in 6 months. Their ancestors needed 5 years to reach 130 pounds. As Brillat Savarau warned, the destiny of nations depends upon the manner in which they feed themselves. When McDonald's opened near Rome's Spanish Steps in 1986, Carlo Petrini launched a counter-revolution. Slow Food now has 78,000 members across 50 countries, promoting fresh, local, seasonal produce and leisurely dining. Visit Neil's Yard Dairy in London and taste artisanal cheddars, Keen's soft and grassy, Montgomery's dry with nutty notes. These flavors develop slowly and linger, unlike factory cheese. Manhattan marketers Matthew and Catherine transformed their eating after experiencing European food culture. Cooking gives you a little oasis of slowness, Matthew says. Inspired by slow food, the Sit a Slow movement is transforming cities. Beginning in 1999 with 4 Italian towns, over 30 cities worldwide now reduce noise and traffic, increase green spaces, and support local producers. Bra is closing streets, banning supermarket chains and neon signs, granting prime real estate to family businesses. Cars dominate urban landscapes, creating barriers between people. Studies show less traffic flowing more slowly means more social contact. BBC journalist Peter Holland discovered, when you're a calmer driver, you're calmer with your family, your work, with everything.
Workplace pressure demands quick reactions, but minds perform better when slowed down, delivering improved health, calm, concentration, and creativity, what Milan Kundera calls the wisdom of slowness. Psychologist Guy Claxton identifies 2 modes: fast thinking, rational, analytical, and slow thinking, intuitive, creative. brain scans revealed these produced different waves, slower alpha and theta during slow thinking, faster beta during fast thinking. History's greatest thinkers grasp this. Darwin called himself a slow thinker. Einstein spent hours staring into space. The ideal balances both modes, using slow thinking to generate ideas, fast thinking to analyze them. Meditation trains the mind to relax, generating slower brainwaves and lasting serenity. Once fringe, meditation now claims 10 million American practitioners. One 5-year study found transcendental meditation practitioners were 56% less likely to be hospitalized. The fitness world rediscovers slowness through yoga and qigong. Wall Street trader Mark Cohen discovered yoga's transformative power. His flexibility improved, but more importantly, yoga cultivated inner calm that transferred to high-pressure work. When things get crazy, I'm just Mr. Calm, he explains. Polls across 27 countries show 70% want better work-life balance. Americans increasingly resist workaholism, while younger workers demand reasonable hours. In Japan, Generation Fureta reject corporate life for part-time work. France's 35-hour workweek created a leisure revolution. Workers report greater efficiency and life satisfaction through increased arts, travel, and family time. Cutting hours often brings smaller financial sacrifices than expected, as reduced work expenses and lower taxes offset income reductions. Forward-thinking companies now prioritize balance. SAS maintains a 35-hour workweek with generous benefits, while the Royal Bank of Canada allows 40% of staff flexible arrangements. Working slowly produces better results. Strategic planning, creative thought, and relationship building suffer from constant rushing. Ernst & Young told U.S. employees it's acceptable not to check weekend messages. Investment banker Jill Hancock discovered that silencing her phone during breaks helped overcome depression and fatigue, ultimately improving productivity while making room for yoga and cooking. Sometimes the most productive thing you can do is stop trying to be productive. Harvard Dean Harry Lewis's annual Slow Down Letter to Freshmen argues that selective slowness leads to better thinking and achievement. Yet children today face relentless pressure from advertisers, schools emphasizing clock-based efficiency, and parents packing schedules with activities. The price is evident. Children as young as 5 suffer stress-induced ailments, including upset stomachs, headaches, insomnia, depression, and eating disorders. Academically, intensification backfires. Child psychologist Kathy Hirschpasek found preschoolers from relaxed learning environments were less anxious, more eager to learn, and better at independent thinking than those subjected to drill-and-kill teaching. Finland starts formal education at 7, with fewer high-pressure exams, yet consistently tops world rankings. The Barnes family of London shifted towards slowness after realizing their 8-year-old Jack was burning out. They limited him to 3 extracurricular activities and reduced scheduled weekend outings. Jack blossomed, becoming livelier, more talkative, and performing better in his remaining activities. Children need time to dream, play, and discover who they are. A century after the Titanic disaster, we're still racing toward burnout. The slow movement offers a different path. Not replacing speed worship with slowness worship, but finding the right pace for each situation. This isn't about rejecting progress, it's about reclaiming the choice that speed stole from us. Critics dismiss slowness as unaffordable luxury, but most slow practices cost nothing. Spending time with loved ones, walking, cooking, reading. Far from destroying capitalism, slow offers it a sustainable path by valuing people and environment as assets rather than disposable inputs. The revolution needs both individual action and systemic change. Start small. Cook from scratch, take walks, read without distractions. For that father at the airport, recovery from speedaholism means newfound patience at supermarket checkouts and unhurried bedtime stories with his son. In a world that constantly tells us to hurry up, perhaps the most revolutionary act is simply to slow down.